The Mishnah tells us in the fifth parak of Avos, Arba Midas Ba'adam, Ha'omer Shali Shali V'Shalcha Shalcha, Zu Mida Beinanis. The person says that what is mine, what's yours is yours, and you don't take mine, I won't take yours. The Mishnah calls that a Mida Beinanis, V'Yishomim Zu Midas Stom. That's Midas Stom. So we encounter Midas Stom in a halachic context in the sugya of Zanana V'Zela Chaser, and the corollary expression of Ein Kofin on Midas Stom. The Gemara never explicitly says Midas Stom and Zenen of Zelachas are synonymous, but it's pretty clear in context that the two are related. Rishonim are explicit that the two are related. So we'll discuss a little bit the sugya of Zenen of Zelachas and the application of Ein Kofin on Midas Stom in that context. We'll talk about some contemporary applications of this principle. The Gemara tells us in Bava Kamma, this again, Daf Kaf Amid Aleph onto Kaf Amid Beis, the Gemara raises a question about six lines on the bottom. Hadar b'chaser chaveru shelo midaito sarach lahalos haschar ein sarach. If a person lives in someone else's chaser without his permission, does he have to pay rent? Hey chidami ilem b'chaser delo kaim la agra v'gavah delo avi lemegar. If we're talking about a chaser that isn't on the market, that isn't rentable, where the balabas could never collect rent for it anyway, and we're talking about a person who isn't in a position to pay rent, Zet lo nenev zelo chaser. So that's a case where the person who is living there isn't getting hana, he's not saving rent because he wouldn't pay rent to begin with. And the balabas isn't chaser because he's not losing any potential income since the chaser is not rentable to begin with. Ela b'chaser d'kayim l'agra v'gavra d'av l'megar. If we're talking about a case where the chaser is rentable and the person is in a position to pay rent, then zen nenev zelo chaser. So the guy who is in a position to pay rent and isn't paying rent is Nana, and the Balabas is Chaser because he could have collected rent from another person who would have paid, and this guy's not paying. So what is the din if you have a Chaser that's not rentable, and a person who would pay rent if he needed to pay rent, but he happens to be in a Chaser where he's squatting and not paying rent? So, Masi Amar Lei Mai Chaser Tich, Adilma Masi Amar Ha is Hanis. So who has the upper hand? Does a guy who's getting free rent have the right to say, well, you would never have rented it out anyway? Does a guy who's renting it out, the Balabas, have the right to say, you would have paid someone else for the rent, so you might as well pay me? So that's a whole shakvatari here. Ultimately, it's Machlokas Amarayim, and we paskin that Zenana Vizela Chaser is Pater. That in this situation, the person who is squatting on the property of the chaser that isn't rentable to begin with does not have to pay rent. So the whole shaila here in the Gemara in Bava Kamma is a question of payment. The guy is living there in this chaser that isn't going to be rented anyway. So does he have to pay rent? The machlokes amaram, and we paskin zenen avizela chaser is pater. But there's a corollary, which is, is a person allowed potentially to lichachila put himself in the situation of squatting on someone else's property where it would never have been rented out anyway? And this is all possibly in the realm of b'di'evit. He was already dar b'chaser chaver shelo rishus. Does he have to pay rent? Now, what about, is he allowed to go there lichachila? And that is where the Gemara has the potentially machlokas rishonim. That may be where the Gemara invokes the phrase of kofin al midas sum. You can force someone to not violate Midas Tom, to not have Midas Tom. That the Gemara has in Bava Basra and Daf Yudbeis Amidbeis. Here the Gemara is talking about Yorshim, who are Yarshining property from their father. And one of the Yorshim has a field that's proximate to property, or part of the property, of the deceased father. So everyone is entitled to a chelik in the Yerusha. There are various potential parts of the field that the various Yorshim could Yarshim. The question is whether the Yorish, who already has a field proximate to one of the fields of the father, has the right to insist that he get the field next to his field, Midin Bar Mitzvah, that he has more of a claim because it's next to his own existing property. So that is a instance of Zed Nenev Zelo Chaser. There's no loss for the other brothers. They could just as well have another Chelek. In this context, the Gemara has the expression of Kofin al Midas Stom. Now maybe we can even force the brothers to agree to this chalukah, because for them to say no would be midas tom, that's inappropriate. They're not losing anything by acquiescing to the brothers' request. So maybe we can even force them to allow the brother to take the field that he wants. So there's a fundamental machlokas rishonim here. Take a look in Tosas Dibur Maskil, Kigon Ze Kofin Al Midas Tom, 2 days from the Bali Tosas here. The Tosas quotes the position of the Ritzbah. The Ritzbah Mefaresh, about halfway through Tosas, Dibur Maskil Kigon. The Had Amar Rabba Kofin Lomidin Tarak Amar. The Bidin Hayayacha Limchas Shekinegdo. The Ika Kapeda Baruchas. Kid Amar Bekamaduchtin. The Ode. This is what we're concerned about. Ha de kofin al midas tom v'zenene v'zelo chaser haynu b'shekvar dar b'chaser chaveiro she'enu malaschar. The whole discussion of kofin al midas tom is in a situation where the guy's already living in the chaser shelo b'rishus, so there he doesn't have to pay rent. Aval apshita she'yachal limchas bo shelo yikanes lader b'beiso. However, it's pashut, says Tosos, that the Balabas has the right to protest and not allow someone to squat in his property lichachila, afila b'chaser lo kaimel agra, even if it's a chaser that he wouldn't be renting out anyway, that's not rentable, v'gavad delavil megar, even if it's a person who wouldn't be paying rent. So even in a situation of zenen of zelo chaser, says this opinion in Tosfos, a person can still insist that the other guy has no right to squat. And kofin al midas tom doesn't mean that the other guy has the right to be there without permission of the Baal Bayis. If he's already there, so then he doesn't have to pay rent, but he's not allowed to be there lechachilu without the permission of the Baal Habas. Okay. There is a contrary position in the Mordechai in Bava Kamma. The Mordechai Bava Kamma is Simon Tes Zayin, quotes the following Yesh Mefarshim. Not here, right?
Yeah,
okay, that's fine. Thanks. The Ein Kofin Ella Kigon Hecha Dimehani Afilu Ihava Ba'i Le'arvuche Bahamilsa Lo Matsi Le'arvuche. So, when do we say Kofin or Ein Kofin Al Midas Tom? So, Ein Kofin, in a situation where there is a potential of income on the part of the Baal HaChaser, the Baal HaChaser could have made money off this, Hilka Kaifinale, came to the HaChaser Midi. Aval Hecha Di'i Hava Ba'i Baal HaChaser Li'igure Hava Mirvach Hashanami Ki Lo Mogerle Lo Kaifile. So the Mordechai writes in this Yesh Mefarshim that if the Baal HaChaser would have been in a position to collect rent, so then even if he's not interested in collecting rent at the moment, still, you can't force him to allow someone to live rent-free on the property. So if theoretically you could collect rent, even if he's not interested in putting it on the market now, then you can't force him to allow someone to stay there without rent. But if he would never put it on the market anyway, and it's not a property that could fetch any rent, so then you have the right to force the Baal Habas to allow the squatter to stay in his property. Because that's Zenen of Zelo Chaser. There's no loss along with a situation where there won't be any financial loss to the Baal Chaser. He's not using it anyway. It's not going to cause him any loss. He wouldn't be making any money. So in that case, says this day in the Mordechai, Kofin al Midas Tom, you're even allowed to force the Baal Habas to acquiesce to this other person living rent-free in his Chaser. Okay? So Machlokas Rishonim, whether Kofin al Midas Tom extends to a situation where if the Baal Bayis is not going to incur any loss, can you force him to allow someone else to stay in his property? And this seems to be maybe machlokas in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah in Simen Shin Samach Gimel Se'if Vav, simple reading the Ramah, quotes the Yesh Mefarshim in the Mordechai Lehalacha. This more extreme position of Kofin Al Midas Tom. Not even necessarily accepts that lahalacha. There's a tshuva noted to be Huda that the Piskei Tshuva quotes here on the bottom. Noted to be Huda is in Tanyana Chosha Mishpat Simon Kafdalit. He was talking about a case where there was a printer who was commissioned to print a certain number of shasim, Seder Nezikin and Seder Kashim, with Rashi Tosos and the parish of the person who commissioned him in the margins. And the printer did the job, and then he already had all the typesets set out, so he reused the typeset to print his own shas without the parish of the person who hired him. So the person who hired him initially was Tavea, that the printer at least owes him half of the profits or half of the cost of the typeset, because he had typeset this printing for him initially. So that may be a case of Zen and of Zelachasir. He would have done the work anyway for the first client, and then it's already there, so the first client isn't losing anything from the fact that the printer now is printing his own edition. So in the context of that analysis, Nod Yehuda seems to assume, like the Tosos against the Yesh Mefarshim and the Mordechai Lalacha, that you can't force a guy to accept a situation of Zenon Mezelachaser Lichafila, even if he can't collect rent b'di'evet. Then the Nod Yehuda raises other issues, that even if there's no Zenon Mezelachaser, but the guy may be causing him a financial loss in competing in the same market, because who's going to buy the shas with the first client's parish if he could buy the same shas without his parish, maybe for cheaper, or he's restricting the marketability of the first shas. But be that as it may, so it's not clear in Achronim to what extent this Mordechai is accepted lehalacha. Mordechai Farbstein, the Chevron of Rosh Yeshiva, has an article in the second volume of Shuras Hadin. Shuras Hadin is a collection of essays from Dayanim in Eretz Yisrael, published through the Rabbanut Bate Din. That doesn't come out as often anymore, but it used to be more frequent. Now everything's on the internet, so you don't have to publish books anymore. So he has the following analysis. He says he has a couple possibilities. Wapshad and Tosis is Pshitas. Tosis assumes Pashat that Kofen al Midas Tom doesn't mean that you can force someone to accept a tenant in his property without his acquiescence, even if he's not going to collect rent anyway. So what's Pashat about that? What's the Svara? So his inclination is to accept something that he quotes from Rav Shimon, and Rav Shimon's Chidushin Bava Kama, maybe in Shari Yosher also. Rav Shimon says that the reason that you're not going to be kof in this case is because by imposing on this fellow's chatzir, you're essentially compromising his shlita on his own house. It's, I own this chatzir, so even if I'm not going to collect rent on this chatzir, but if someone else is living there without my acquiescence, so that's a pegia in my bailus over the slutzer. So that's ke'ein, some kind of gezel that I makbid, that you shouldn't do anything to compromise my bailus of the chatzers. So even if I'm not going to make money, that still have a certain level of bailus that's compromised by someone else living there without rishus. So he suggests that maybe the Mordechai doesn't disagree with that fundamentally. Maybe the Yesh Mefarshim and the Mordechai could agree on some level that the notion exists that you can't force a guy to incur a certain pagam in his bailus. The question is a matter of degree. So in a case where it's not going to be rented anyway, no one's losing anything, so is that a violation of his bailus? So maybe the machlokas is limited to that case, in which case you'd have to be done everything based on the particulars of the situation. So the starting point that he has in that essay is about a case where a balabas in Eretz Yisrael wanted to move a new refrigerator into his apartment, and the only way he could get into the apartment was going through the merpeset of a neighbor, and the merpeset didn't want to let this neighbor bring the refrigerator through his merpeset. So in his analysis, he thinks maybe even Tosis would agree in this case that that's not a violation of the bailus of the owner of the apartment, that one time someone's going to move a fridge through his merpeset for 30 seconds. That's really midas tom. So maybe even Tosfos should agree, in that case, even if he's screaming, no, 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 that we can force him to allow the refrigerator to pass through his merpeset. You could argue with that, but that's his analysis based on the Rav Shimon, not necessarily muchach.
So if that's the chaser, why is not even chaser even b'di'evet?
I'm sorry?
If that's a case of chaser,
right?
Then even b'di'evet, he should have to pay for that. Because
they say that's not really chaser. What is chaser? You're not losing anything. There's no financial chisaron. There's no tangible chisaron. There's a certain notion of compromising his bailus. So in anything tangible, is then another chaser. But beyond that, so that's why it's not collectible. You can't force him to pay rent. But on a certain level, you can't impose yourself l'chachila, because there's still a certain diminution of his bailus. the Piskei Tshuva discusses, the Piskei Choshen points this out to Rabbi Bloy, that there's a Piskei Tshuva in the beginning of Simen Kuf Ayin Gimel. Because what's the shear? We talk of a Zenon of Zelachaser. So, Kol Shehu, less than a Kol Shehu, what kind of Chisaron would be collectible? So the Piskei Tshuva has the following case, quoting from the Shvus Yaakov, Simen Kuf Ayin Gimel, Seif Katan Gimel. Kuf Ayin Gimel, Seif Katan Gimel. Excuse me, Piskei Tshuva quotes from a Shvus Yaakov the following story. There was a house where brothers were cholek, they got the house birusha, and they divide up the rooms, and one of the rooms had a big oven that they used for baking. And in the Shtar Chalukah, there is an understanding that only the brother who had that room with the tanur would have the rights to the tanur, except for Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov, where all the other brothers could use the tanur. And the shaila was, one of the other brothers had a baby boy, so now he's holding by Bris Mila and a Pinyan of Ben. So Bris Mila, Pinyan of Ben is Yom Tov delay. So their agreement was that everyone could use it on Yom Tov, Erev Yom Tov. So was that called Yom Tov? It's his Yom Tov, but it's not their Yom Tov. So Shvus Yaakov writes, that's not considered Midas Tom, even though at first glance, what's the big deal? So you let him use it that day, because there's still a minor imposition on that brother who lives in the room of the Tanur that he has to get out of the way, he has to move to the other room. So the fact that there's some slight discomfort or some slight inconvenience is enough to make that considered not Midas Tom. So it sounds like even a inconvenience kol shehu is considered a chisaron. So if that's something that's really zenan of zelo chaser, it has to be no chisaron whatsoever.
Even if it's not, you can't monetize that, right? I'm saying there's no monetary
value. Right. So even if there's no monetary value, it sounds like that's still considered a chisaron. Okay, so I asked a couple of people over the last couple of days, what's a good contemporary example of Zenan of Zelachaser? So two people said the same thing. If you go to a baseball game and you buy a seat in the bleachers, are you allowed to walk down to a lower level if the seats are empty? So at first glance, that should be Pashit, that's Aser, because presumably all those seats are Avidi Lamegar. That they can sell the seats, even if no one's buying it the second, but they can sell the seats to another customer. It's the second inning, but someone can still come and buy a ticket. So that's presumably a vidi lamega. The question is, what would happen if the policy in the stadium is the ticket box closes after whatever inning? So at that point, if the ticket box closes, you can't buy a ticket. So does that mean it's no longer considered avid lamegar? Or maybe there's somebody still can get a ticket? If it's not over the Megar, so then would you have the right to go down to a lower seat? Meaning, from your perspective, you wouldn't have bought a more expensive seat than the bleacher seat to begin with. So from your perspective, that's equivalent to the person who's low over the Megar. You're not going to pay for that seat anyway. But it's definitely Kaimel Agra. It's a chaser the Kaimel Agra. They would rent it out. They would sell it to someone who does want to buy it. So presumably that's a problem, unless the box office... It's already closed, and then maybe you could argue that it's no longer a vidi lamegar.
Is a vidi lamegar only the chaser because you're taking it away from somebody else who would have gone there?
And no, you're taking away the potential that this is all a type of gezel. You're stealing from the person who could sell it to someone else.
Even if he's not.
Even if he's not, but it still has value that's on the market. It has marketable value. So you're taking something that has marketable value, you're not paying for it.
Might be chaser for different reason anyway. It might be chaser because for potential losses. People know that they can buy a cheap ticket and go
right.
down there.
That's also right.
Then mm-hmm. they'll try to buy the cheap ticket.
Right. Right. That's in theory you could argue from a management perspective, maybe if someone's going to go down to more expensive seat, they'll like it so much, they'll pay the full price next time. But you'd have to prove that that's actually part of the cheshbon. more common discussion in recent years is using your neighbor's internet connectivity without their consent, with their consent. So this, not passing anything, but just to take the question apart into its composite pieces. So one level, this could happen a few ofanim. Either you're going to use it consistently. You're not going to get your own internet service. You're going to rely on your neighbor's Wi-Fi. So then it may be a cheshbon with the internet service provider that's avad lemeger for the company. If you weren't using your neighbor's Wi-Fi, then you'd be a customer on your own. So then you're not paying for the service that you should be paying for. But let's say we're talking about an occasional use. On an occasional basis, you wouldn't be buying the service anyway. But on occasional use, can you use someone else's internet connectivity with or without their permission? Do you have to pay them if you use it? So one issue to address is that considered chaser. So how do you evaluate chaser? We just quoted the Piskei Teshuva that even a little bit of chaser is considered chaser. But how do you evaluate that? So is there going to be a significant decrease in the speed of the connection of the person who, the Baal Bas who paid for the service? Is it totally negligible that you couldn't evaluate it at all? So presumably there will, depends on your use, on their use, on any variety of issues. I'm sorry? Right, let's say they're not home, so then you... Are you being? Is there anything chas in that case? If you know they're not using it at the time, right? I'm sorry.
You get them into trouble if you go to the wrong website.
Okay. So I was driving home today with Rabbi Palmer from Yeshiva. He told me that he discussed it with the Shechter many years ago, not so many years ago, but after the internet was created. And Rav Shechter pointed out the following ha'ara, that even if you would argue that it's really zen en ev zel chaser because there isn't any identifiable diminution in the use of the person who paid for the service in such a situation, Rav Shechter pointed out there's another din in Shulchan Aruch which may be relevant here, and that's in Hilchos Gzeila Simin Shin Nun Tes Seif Aleph, first Seif in Hilchos Gzeila. So Gezel is Asir B'Kalshu. Beimi Yisrael Beimi Yakum. The Imbu Davar Delekam and the Kapit Bei Shari. But if it's something that no one would be makbid upon, then it's technically mutter. Kigon Lito Mea Chavila O Mea Geder Lasas Voshinov. So you take a little piece from the fence to use it to pick your tooth. So that little piece of wood that you're taking off the fence, no one would ever be makbid about. So technically speaking, that's not considered gezel. The avse osir b'yushami mimidas chasidus. Nevertheless, to take that little pick to the little piece of wood to pick your teeth is still considered a violation of a midas chasidus. So midas chasidus not to take it. Why? It says the smile over here. Hatam kasev and muka yosef. The ilu osaken kol echa nimsa chavila kala v'gadr neras. So if Evan would do it, so then the whole fence is going to fall down. So 100 people come and take a little piece of wood, so then that's the end of the fence. So if you take it, the Baal Bais is in Makbid, no one cares. That's technically speaking not Gesel. But if Evan would do the same thing, so then there would be Kpeda. So it's a Midas Chasidus, even one person shouldn't do it in a situation where if everyone were to do it, there would be a real loss. So Rav Shechter said here also, if one person uses someone else's connectivity, it's not going to really diminish the quality of the service. But if 100 people would use it at the same time, then it would. So that, even if it's technically speaking, arguably, Zainanim Zala Chaser, but it's still a violation of this Midas Chasidus of the Yerushalmi that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch Simin Shin Nun Tes.
The Gemara Sanhedrin of Kuftes says that that's exactly what they did in stone. One of the examples that they did in stone was that a person either laid out some stones or some bricks, and each one took one, and each one said, "Oh, even I'm only taking one." Right? Or a person laid out, onions or garlic to dry. Each one takes one, and they say, "Oh, I only took one."
Mm-hmm. So,
Right, I'm a couple of days behind on the daf, but yes.
The end of Meruba, right, it says you could take this one of the terrorists of Yeshua, take the stone out of the fence to take care of your needs.
Right.
So if everybody's going to need, you're going to get rid of the whole fence too.
Right. Good, so then the acre, then that's okay. But,
no, that was a takana. That was that they allowed that.
I'm saying it's a takana. So if the footprint was allowed, so what would you need a takana? But if it's. Again,
no, there still may be. So where there's extenuating circumstance, fine. But there's still under normal circumstances, immediate chassidus, not to do the kind of a thing. So that could be potentially relevant to this question as well. So it probably is difficult to be magdir what kind of chisaron there is in this kind of situation. It's arguable that in just about every situation there is at least a minimal chisaron, so even without reshaktus cheshbon, that is potentially an issue. If you know for a fact that the balabas is not using it at that time, and he's not makbid, and you know that he's not makbid, or he hasn't told you he is makbid, so maybe there is what to talk about. Presumably, if he has indicated that he's makbid, then definitely inappropriate, even if you assume, like the Mordechai, because in all these cases, it is arguable that there is some kind of chisaron that would be at play as well. This also ties to the larger issue of intellectual property, which maybe we'll talk about a different time, definitely not tonight. But if you look at Rav Moshe's famous tshuva about copying tapes, on the last page of the handout here, Rav Moshe invokes Zanan of his Halachos in that context. This is Aruch Chaim Chelek Dalid Simon Mem, I think, Osiutes?
Yeah.
Simon Mem Osiutes. So Rav Moshe writes, So here he is potentially losing income. This is his parnasa. So then that's definitely not considered midas tom. As the person discussed in the context of intellectual property, that even if you can't assign a firm financial value to something, but any chisaron and marketability would be chisaron as far as enen of zol chaser, and therefore would not be considered midas stum. Stop here.
If we're saying gavin other than megar means that just because they're renting out the seats, that's chaser, why does Rashi say even having mugar lachrina? He says it's chaser because it's kind of a hasker.
Right.
Having mugar lachrina.
So it's potentially rentable to someone else.
In this case, mugar lachrina means, does that mean it's potentially, or does that mean that it is rented to someone else?
The chaser kaimer lahasker.
Having mugar lachrina, what does that mean?
Well, it doesn't mean it's actually rented, because right now it's not rented.
There. I don't know. What does that mean?
It means that it could be rented. Chaser kaimel haskir.
Right.
Vahavar, and therefore, it could be rented. It is rentable. It's on the market, and it could have been rented by someone else.
No, I think not. But have a mugar, yeah, he would have. No, but have a mugar,
he would have, meaning that he can't now because I'm there, right?